Welcome to the Generation Iron Podcast, featuring the biggest names in bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports world.
If you want to be a bodybuilding champion, it takes hours and hours every day of being dedicated and being passionate about it.
How's your boy here, Kai Green, a.k.a. Mr. Getting It Done?
Yeah, buddy!
Tune in to the GI Exclusives on the Generation Iron Airwaves.
What's up, GI Nation? This is Vlad Yudin, and we are back on the Generation Iron Podcast. Today's guest is a frequent visitor on our podcast here. Always very open, very entertaining. He has a lot of credibility, and of course, he's a real doctor, so that's very important to understand. He's very vocal about his take on steroids, his take on bodybuilding, and where he thinks the industry should be going, what direction. Of course, he has a lot of clients. He's working with a lot of people in the industry. And a lot of people that are suffering. He's been a part of many of our films, including the Bigorexia Project, including Enhanced, and of course, Generation Iron 3. So very happy to bring back to the podcast Dr. Thomas O'Connor. Hey, Dr. O'Connor.
Vlad, what's up, brother? How you doing?
How you doing? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. Looking good as usual. How you doing,
you
Vlad?
You too, man. You too. I'm doing good, man. It's been a while since we last spoke. Well, how you been, first of all? It's good to see you, as always.
Oh,
you been,
good. So good, Vlad.
We did an interview,
so
I think it was like 6 months ago, I think, when our last interview was, right? About 6 months
ago? Oh, my God, Vlad. Yeah, we got so much going on with media. I have an agent, you know, Nate, lawyer, the app. I opened up the Anabolic Doc app. That's nice. Exploding in the world because I was going to hire doctors, and then I can't take it, you know, because I'm just like, I don't want to work. I love the doctors, you know, that were applying. But how can you find a 500-pound bencher and an internal medicine doctor? And I've been doing this shit for so long.
Right.
I mean, to teach the doctors, you know, it's so much. I may do that later. So We're doing research. We have two big articles, peer-reviewed articles in the top internal medicine journals in the world. Mm-hmm. That's been a lot of work, you know, getting that. I've been working on that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have my media, the medical practice. We're booked out 2 months. We get 5 new consults a day. That's been going on for a year.
Wow.
And we're opening up. I can't say yet, but we have some media stuff. And I think my attorney talked to Vinny about stuff. So we could work together because I'm entering into the world of, you know, the franchise marketing and stuff.
Absolutely. So, you know, every time I talk to you, we do an interview, right? What makes you different is you never pro steroids when it comes to, you know, bodybuilding use. You've always been very adamant about that. Did anything change in the last 6 months? Did your views change at all? Are they being consistent?
No, I love you for these questions. No, nothing's ever going to change, brother. I'm this comes from the heart. Every day I see more and more, and you know, we can do. Are we live? Whenever you want to go live.
Oh, yeah, right? We're recording. We're recording for sure.
Oh, this is great.
This is it. We're doing it.
So, you know, my views won't ever change. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, Vlad. You know, 2000. I think my first patient in the book that I wrote, America on Steroids, Time to Heal, that patient was 2003. I mean, I was doing it as a resident, you know, before that, really. You know, because it just happened naturally because I was a steroid user and I was a young doctor in training. And you know, the other residents and medical doctors around me in New York City and Hartford, Connecticut, you know, people knew that I was on something. They knew I was on something and I wasn't talking about it. But so when patients came in and they were on steroids, they naturally... The system in the emergency, this is like in the emergency room, they shifted the patients to me, right? So that was 2000, that was 2002, 2003. So we're coming up on 20 years, Vlad. So it's like, I'm not gonna change. I realize steroids are, come on, Vlad, every day more and more and more people are open about steroids.
Sure.
You know, people are talking. Then you see the destruction. It's like anything else. I mean, I see your media when people die from a heart attack or something, and then you have people saying roids, 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 and then you have people saying shut the fuck up, you don't know, and it's just like, and I always sit back quietly and just say, you know, anabolicdocapp.com. You know, it's like if you want help, you know, let's get some. But it's more and more people. I think what you're looking to hear from me, you know, I'm on testosterone, Vlad. I'm 57 years old. Hold on a minute, Vlad. Hold on a minute.
There you go.
I mean, I'm a 400-pound bencher still. Mm. Wow. I'm 193 pounds. I'm almost 60. I mean, I do a little Botox now, Vlad. I'm doing a little Botox, Vlad.
That's good.
So, you know, my vital signs are that of an infant. Now, think about this. My LDL cholesterol is mm-hmm. between 20 and 40. Mm-hmm. My blood pressure is 110, right? 110 over 70. Mm-hmm. Heart rate's in the 50s to 60s. The baby has everything except for the heart rate's very high, mm-hmm. but that's a baby. Right. And I'm not joking. So I'm openly telling people about the medicines I use. I use very complex internal medicine agents to protect my health because I'm getting older and I love to be a beast and I love sex. And the agents, and I'm not joking, oh, call me crazy. I'm probably not alone. Steroid use can destroy the sex life, mm-hmm. right, Vlad? So I've developed protocol because it can hurt the heart and it can hurt the brain. And forget the hair and the gynecomastia and the acne, who cares? Right. Wow. You know, we're talking deadly stuff and then psychiatric stuff mm-hmm. and fertility issues and testicular issues and so cardiac kidney disease. So I've been working on these mm-hmm. and I'm openly telling people the agents that I use, and but it's hard for guys to get their head around it, Vlad, because they're very some of them are ACE, ARB, you know, easy, simple medications, statin medications, but I use PCSK9 drugs, Repatha, Vascepa, of course, metformin, and I'm saying it right. I held this for 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, because I didn't want to talk about them. Now I'm opening up to the world because I want people to understand this. But Vlad, you can't just buy these medicines and start taking these medicines. You have to have the brain power of an internal medicine doctor. Again, this is not bro science, guys. Mm-hmm. Right, Vlad? Come on. So, it's not, you know, the meds I'm on, Vlad, that are not going to be the same meds that you're going to be on.
Sure. I have a question. So let's say a young guy or whatever, an adult man is watching this right now, right? And they want to be a pro bodybuilder, so they're competing on the amateur level right now. And they have pressure to take steroids in order to be competitive. They have pressures in order to be, you know, to gain the size. So what advice would you give to them right now? They're watching you right now and they're asking, what do we do? We're pressured to do it in order to be competitive.
I would say, Vlad, what a great question. I would say, don't do it. Back away. Because Vlad, you and I both know that to be a professional bodybuilder, even an amateur bodybuilder, you, regardless, even if you have great genes, and we're not going to go into who's natty, who's not, you know, Mike O'Hearn and all this, it's fun, right? That's fun stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, did Flex Wheeler have genetic mutation that myostatin deficiency, right? Myostatin deficient, and he was so muscular, he might have, he has great genetics, but didn't he end up doing steroids anyway? He did, right? He did. Flex. I'm talking Flex Wheeler. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, or all these guys have great genetics. You have to have great genetics, and then you have to do steroids. Am I right? I mean, do you agree with me on that?
Allegedly, they do. Yeah.
They have to. So
they have to, doctor. They have to. Then, would you still advise not to?
I would advise 100%. To reassess your dreams and goals mm-hmm. and not to do it, because you're going to end up 100% on the amount. We're not talking one or two cycles of test and decadorablin, Vlad. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not talking about back in the 70s where guys might have done, and you know, I'm not saying these are bullshit guys, but even back in the day, they did 6-week cycles and they tried to come off. Remember, I'm 57 this year. I remember back in the 80s, and I saw guys from the 70s because I was, they were in their 30s. They were young men, right. And even the top professional guys, no names mentioned. Mm-hmm. They've been patients of mine, mm-hmm. so because I've been doing this for 20 years. So, you know, it's a slippery slope. It used to be a slippery slope, Vlad. You train naturally. Ron Harris talks about it all the time. You train naturally into about 25. Mm-hmm. You max out. Mm-hmm. And then this is back in the 80s and 90s maybe. And then even Ronnie, right? Ronnie Coleman, the king. He trained naturally to about 23, 25 maybe or more. Well, actually, I think it's true. Absolute genetic freak. Great dude. Obviously a great man. Mm-hmm. Incredible superhuman. And still great to this day. His personality and his in triumph for fighting, you know, what's happened. But he did steroids. You know, so guys, you have to do steroids. I'm the doc. I know I do it every day. It's my day job. I see the suffering. Mm-hmm. It may be worth it to you. You may be young and say, I'm a warrior. I'm going to do it. And it's going to be worth it to me. I don't care. It's like being a NASCAR driver. You could have that eventful crash and you're dead. Mm-hmm. Jockeys can die from broken necks and backs. I mean, so people are triumphant. But every single bodybuilder, even on the amateur level, mm-hmm. let's be honest, is going to take steroids. They're going to be shut off. I'm overloaded with business because guys do steroids, even small amounts, mm-hmm. and they have anabolic steroid-induced hypogonadism. This is my research papers, and they're shut off. They even a little bit of in SARMs, these guys can't come back. They're 17, 18, 15, 20, 23. Mm-hmm. I do SARMs. I'm not doing steroids. I do SARMs. Everyone right. says it's okay. And then they come off and they're worse because so their brain is off. Their testicles are right. disconnected.
So my thing is this. If you're saying don't do it, right, and I'm assuming you watch bodybuilding, right? I'm assuming you like to watch competitions once in a while.
Sometimes. You know. I really don't, though. I'm a power lifter, but I'm busy with my job. I mean, I've changed. I'm an older man now, and I really don't like to watch it because it kind of hurts. It hurts me because I know what they're – the body dysmorphia is so bad. The destruction is horrible.
Well, let's say you were a fan, right? You know, let's say somebody's out there a fan of bodybuilding. So would if all the bodybuilders take your advice, would then – as a result, bodybuilding as we know today would basically disappear or morph into something completely different.
Yes.
And you're okay 100%. with that? You're okay.
Of course.
Okay.
But hold on, Vlad. I don't think that's realistic. That's like saying that we're not going to have anger. We're not going to have greed. Come on, Vlad. That's like saying we're not going to have people stealing. We're not going to have people cheating the IRS. Come on, Vlad. This is primitive. This is primitive. Mm-hmm. Okay? These are primitive drives, and it's the accessibility to steroids, including the knowledge to know how to do that with the internet, it's a blessing and a curse. This is never going to stop. I'm one doctor. I'm the anabolic doc. I own this world as a leading physician. I own it. I've been owning it for a long time. The research I see, the destruction is horrible. So that's like saying, kind of, but it's, you know, doc, heroin is used, people feel great on it, you know, they use it and forget the pain side, you know, for mm-hmm. opioids, mm-hmm. narcotics. Mm-hmm. They do it, well, it's, what do you think? Should they not do it? Should they do it? It's like, well, it's going to be used. Can it be used safely? Kind of a bad, I put myself in a corner on that maybe, because could opiates be used safely? Theoretically, but look at the opioid damage. Right. Come on, Vlad. So, you know, people get addicted to these things. These drugs have side effects. If you're going to be a pro bodybuilder or amateur, you use steroids, I will still love you. I will still respect you. Because mm-hmm. I did some steroids to be a bench presser, right. to bench press over 500. I was bitten by the bug. I wanted to do it. And now I've been on testosterone for almost 30 years, Vlad. Mm-hmm. 30 years.
You're taking levels that basically bring it up to normal, right?
I take 100 milligrams every 5-6 days, Vlad. Right.
Which is completely different. For those who are confused about that, if you can explain, this is completely different from bodybuilding dosages that, you know, a normal bodybuilder would take. I just want to make sure people understand it's completely different
situation. Yeah, everyone knows that. Yeah, everyone knows that, you know, it's all testosterone. you know, everyone's on a base of testosterone.
Right.
We're not talking, you know, a month out before the show where some gurus recommend stopping testosterone and going on Tren, you know, or Equipoise by itself or Winstrol or one of these. I'm not a guru, but I know the drugs that are being used because I see the effects medically.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at testosterone, it's kind of like booze. It's like alcohol. Right. If you drink a little bit of red wine every day, Vlad, if you drink a little red wine every night, you're not going to have health consequences.
Right.
And the truth is, you may actually have a better quality of life, and you may even live longer.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably relevant for testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
See? But we don't have data for that. I'm a scientist. We don't have discrete end data saying that. But if you have low T and you're 45 years old because you've been obese, you're diabetic, because you've done steroids, because you have depression, you're on antidepressant medicines, you had brain trauma, all the above, none of the above, and you go on a little testosterone with me and a good doctor, and you're vigilantly monitored incredibly tight, and you're given some of these medicines that you may need that I take, you with the grace of God, you're going to live, you could definitely live a long life, but the whole question is, do you need testosterone or do you not? Testosterone is a light switch. It's either on the on or off position. You're either on it, Vlad, or you're not. Then you're either on a low dose, sustainable dose called TRT, or you're on super physiologic, which is then it goes into steroids. And then guys, you know, I love guys. You know, guys are like, Doc, I'm on 400 a week. That's TRT, right? Okay. You're blasting cruise. You know all these words, right, Vlad? But you're not a steroid user, so you don't know it in your body. You don't know it.
What's the limit? Like, what's the dose where it goes? At that dosage, you're way above TRT, basically.
It depends, Vlad.
It depends how much you need. Okay, got it.
It depends on your chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, around 200 a week, and you know, when you're over 200 a week, for sure, there's how many men on a Gaussian curve, you know, when you look at the statistics, how many men require more than 200 a week, and they're just basically looking for steroids, and that's what that is. It's very, very, very small, less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Most men take 100 every 5, you know, or 75 or 50 milligrams every, you know, these little baby doses every couple days, and it is unbelievable for the brain, the sex, and this is not too bad, Vlad. I'm proving to the world that you can still be strong as an ox and super healthy, but you have to have an internal medicine doctor know how to block the adverse effects. And bro science guys, they can't do it because you have to be an internal medicine doctor. Forgive me. Mm-hmm. Forgive me. You know, these guys get so full of anger.
You know, I see a lot of debates online, and I want you to clarify that actually. So the people are debating, basically, some saying that the steroids are not the magic pill. And basically, you know, it's all about the hard work, and steroids just add very little to bodybuilding career. Some people say it's all about the steroids, you know, when it comes to a bodybuilder. So in your opinion, how much steroids contribute to a mass monster?
Great question. Steroids are absolute miracles. Absolute miracle. They're not pills, right? They're injections and pills. Okay, so steroids have been around since the 1940s, let's be honest, 1950s. And by the 1960s, we were done. We had 400 steroids, Tren, Anavar. That's how I started the Anabolic Doc YouTube channel. I reviewed every probably 50 most common steroids, right? There's TRT, there's DNP, there's testosterone derived, NOR19 derived, and DHT derived. There you go. Three steroid classes since the 1930s and 40s. There you go. They are absolute freakish. They take someone that has good genetics and hard work and good diet and an ethic and a monster. And, you know, I've taken care of the top guys in the world of powerlifting and strongmen and some bodybuilders. I've turned off the bodybuilders decades ago. So I really, that's okay. They take a lot of drugs and insulin, and I've never ever been able to get my head around that. And I've been aggressive to them and saying that, you know, that it's full body dysmorphia. Now, give me a strong guy that just wants to lift something up and put it down. So I've worked, and I still work with the strongest man in the world. Mm-hmm. They don't do insulin, right? They don't do insulin. Strong men don't do insulin, and they don't do anti-estrogens because they don't give a shit. They like estrogen because you start blocking estrogen, you're going to start rupturing tendons. So okay, so this is, I don't want to get into the chemical complications here, but in the end, when I work with the big strong guys, you know, they just like to take some steroids and to be very spiritual and to get that incredible high of being so strong and superhuman. And that I've always tried to see, I want to block the effects. I want to block so I've developed protocols to protect their heart. I don't, you know, steroids are miracle agents. But the top guys in the world, Vlad, have three things. Best genetics, no kidding, because they respond to steroids, right? And they have the top diet and behavior. You know, there have been bodybuilders in the world that have been alcoholic and cigarette smokers and drug users, and it's, you know, it's limited their ability. If that guy only wasn't an alcoholic, he would have been the top guy in the world. So with that,
What I hear a lot of the times is that they say, well, take steroids out of the equation and the best guys in the world will still be the best guys in the world.
But I agree with, that's true. It's true.
But they would not be on that level as far as muscularity, basically.
But no one would be.
Right.
Look at Ronnie Coleman. Look at Ronnie Coleman before he took steroids. Ronnie Coleman, you made the documentary. Right. I mean, Ronnie Coleman trained natural up until, I don't know, 25 or something, and then maybe more. And then he got, you know, he was kind of like, God damn, what am I doing? And then he started taking steroids. And how do you know it's true? In the next 10 years, he gained like 100 pounds of muscle. So Ronnie Coleman, it would be Ronnie Coleman versus Ronnie Coleman on enhanced. Mm-hmm. Come on, Vlad. So it would be Ronnie Flex. It would be all the top guys. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the difference. Here's the secret. Some men, genetically without steroids, are incredible. They look great. They're strong. They're limited. Some men they have genes for responding more than men that are just natural. So this is an equation where this is a new game player where it's like, wait a minute, Doc, it's not true. There are guys that would never be up in the top, but they're super responders. Boom. It's not an overlapping Venn diagram where you have this one subgroup where they're the top in the world naturally, and then they're going to be the top when they do steroids. And then think about this. Then it's like, how much steroids do you take? What kind of steroids? Mm-hmm. Growth hormone, insulin, IGF.
Mm-hmm. But there's so many men that I've heard so many stories of people just almost killing themselves, taking so much stuff, but the genetics are so bad that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They're still not going to be close to what the bodybuilders look like, even though they take everything in the world.
I see that. That's where it's
That's where the sad part comes in, right? They'll never be. They're just gonna like destroy themselves in the process.
Vlad, every day. So going back to your first question, have I changed my mind? And what about a young guy who's on steroids? Vlad, that is the guy I'm trying to reach out to now. Mm-hmm. So is it or but is there a difference if you're gonna be a pro and you're gonna use a little bit? So the top. The top guy can use this much steroid. He's still gonna have medical complications. Come on, Vlad. It's every single one. When you're 45 or 50, there's no free lunch, Vlad. But if a guy uses this much, he's just gonna have the complications worse and more early. Come on, Vlad, common sense. Right. So how much drug do you have to take? And I see it every day because I take the histories. I still have to have a jaw strap. for how much drugs that these men will pump into their bodies. It's pretty freakish.
Yeah. What about if, you know, if people will say to you, well, doctor, you know, it's an extreme sport, you know, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to, while I'm competing, this is going to be an extreme sport for me. I might die doing it, you know, just like any other extreme sports. And that's what it is. You know, like look at Dorian Yates, for example, right? I don't mean to use his name, but like, for example, he was a competitive bodybuilder. He achieved, he became one of the greatest. And then after he retired, he basically, you know, he went into a healthy life. And now he's all about, you know, about being healthy and, you know, eating once, twice a day, whatever. He changed his whole mentality. But while he was competing, he did what he had to do, you know?
Yeah. I don't know Dorian, and he's been very honest. You know, he's a great guy. I think he's a year older than me. We don't know Dorian's health consequence. We don't know what's going on inside his body, and we don't know how long Dorian's going to live for. Maybe Dorian took off 20 years of his life, lad.
I see what you're saying. No, I understand what you're saying, and that's a good point. We don't know.
We don't know. These men suffer quietly. Now, I know. I don't know him. I know in this mind because who comes to see me, Vlad? They come to see me. And they tell me the truth with their wife, their children, their mothers, and there's a lot of tears because they have heart disease and kidney disease, and they have psychiatric disease, severe erectile dysfunction. How many guys am I trying to get fertile? I have a 90% success rate with getting steroid users fertile, but I'm not 100%. I have to use fertility urology doctors. And we all fail. So there's all sorts of side effects. And if that guy, young guy, thinks he's going to be a warrior and he's going to be, doc, I know it's risky. Sir, I respect you. I'm asking you as a young man, what is this man, 23, 19, 23, 25? He's a young man. I'm asking this man to please reconsider. And find something else, and it's called sublimation, right, Vlad? Sublimation. Take that energy and put it somewhere else, because brother, at least you're going to be on testosterone for the rest of your life. That's 100% guaranteed. Did you know that, Vlad? Did you know that?
I've heard about it. Yeah, after you get
100%. Every single one. Just because, unless they want to walk around with no sex drive whatsoever and depression. Who wants to walk around when you quit bodybuilding?
You know, you mentioned the sex drive. Actually, I want to clarify something also, because I hear like opposing points of views. I hear like that actually steroids enhance, because you put the testosterone in your body, it enhances the sex drive. But then I guess when you get off of it, that's when the sex drive goes away completely.
Yeah, so there's no opposing. You just don't know it because you're not a steroid user, which is fine. So there's no opposing comments or opinions. When you're on steroids, you're mostly you're hypersexual, depending on who you are. If you're just on DECA and you have DECA dick, and I'm not going to go into DECA only. Come on, I see everything. But you know, the average man blasts and cruises because he tries to come off the cycle. Maybe not the first cycle, the second, the third cycle. Cross this line. Keep doing another. Sooner or later, Vlad, you're going to come off the cycle and you're going to be like, man, whoo-hoo, brother.
Just over time, it gets worse progressively.
Yeah, you're going to come off the shit and you're going to crash like a lead balloon, and you're going to be with a girl. And if you're 20 or 23 or 27 and you can't date, men tell me, this is the new thing now, the new genre, the new lexicon is that it's can't date. That's the new topic on the email that we get 150, if not 500 a day. Can't date. So young man can't date. I can't date women
because of steroids.
Because he's off. It's not when they're on. But hold on. There's a lot of men when they're on in the beginning, usually hypersexual, and then comes a point where your brain is overloaded. This is the chemistry and the science that I'm working on. The receptors of the man's brain on Tren, on DECA, on Test, on Anavar. I mean, come on. And then in the beginning, the body is always fighting homeostasis, right? It's always trying to stay balanced. So you're giving an anabolic steroid agent, androgen, to the brain. The brain goes, wow, this goes boom. And then you, what happens? I've been studying this for 20 years. So when you come off steroids, and again, there are men that when they do cycles, they can come on and off and they go, I feel fine. And then they do that one cycle or they do Tren. I mean, Tren is like Tren, right? Tren is like Tren.
Are all these agents like Tren and Deca, they affect your sexual drive differently or the same?
Oh my God, Vlad. Yes.
Different.
Oh my Lord. Yes.
So some enhance it more than others, basically.
Tren, for the average man, Tren is like the most highly sexual being. You're a super. And guys that are watching this, they know that. It's just like, you know, I'm the anabolic doc. I didn't know this shit 20 years ago. I did test and D-ball, Anadrol, Anavar, Winstrol. I did the usual, the old-fashioned stuff. And then I did one shot of Tren, I don't know, long, 15 years ago or something. And I had a panic attack and I was like, do I call 911? I got to hide from my son. I can't have my son. I'm going to freak out. And I said, who the hell is doing Tren? And then this is as I was studying to be the anabolic doc 15 years ago. But Tren, you see the bodies, you see what Tren is, that hardening. Tren is just absolutely freakish. And so is Ment, and so are all these other. These are kind of esoteric drugs, Ment is, but it's not esoteric anymore, Vlad. It's crazy. Tren is very very common. You know what's funny? I do videos on health and how not to have a heart attack, how to watch your kidney, and they get tens and thousands of views and whatever. My video on Tren is the first video I did that broke 1 million views.
Wow. People want to know about it, huh?
Because everyone just loves to hear about, and whenever I want to get like, I think I want to get like a huge amount of attention today, I just do something about Tren.
Wow. Have you heard about this thing? It's like, it's called injection for an erection. It gives you instant erection.
Of course. It's
for those who like, I guess, nothing
it's
else works.
I'm a doctor. I'm the anabolic doc, so therefore I'm a sex master.
How bad is that for you? Like, because it's instantly. From what I understand, it gives you instant erection and.
So it's all about blood flow, and it's Cabraject is the brand name. It's Alprostadil with other medicines, and you know I prescribe it to men, commonly. There's another one called Muse, which is just you insert it into the tip of the penis, about this far in. And it's for men that are non-responsive to Viagra or even testosterone.
Well, do you find a lot of people that come off steroids and they no longer have sex drive? Is that they find that helpful?
No. So when you're talking about sex, there is a lot of pieces that make up sexual life and sexual physiology for men. The brain has to be intact, right, from to the pelvis. Mm-hmm. So if you have trauma or most paraplegics or quadriplegic people men can have erections, and I'm not an expert in this. This is, you know, orthopedic and neurosurgery and physical medicine, rehabilitate. Those are all the doctors. Depending on the injury to the cord, they could still have erections, or they have a problem with erections, or they have no erection. Okay, next. So that's neurologic. Mm-hmm. The brain has to be, if you have depression, you're gonna limit the libido. Mm-hmm. And no one has depression because they want depression, and no one takes antidepressant medicines because they want to jump for joy. They do it to get through the day.
Right.
So this off, your brain has to be intact. Mm-hmm. Then you have the endocrine system. You have to have a balance, of course, of testosterone enough and estrogen and prolactin. This is all, I can go on and on. Mm-hmm. And then you have, this is all in the brain, okay? Most of the stuff is in the brain, and that's where the problem is when you do steroids, because it affects the brain. This is the research I'm involved with. It's incredible. The brain changes. The brain has been receiving a lot of steroids. It changes the brain, and then the hypothalamus and the pituitary, there's a change. And when you come off, when you pull the steroid off, the brain and the testicles try, the hypothalamus, pituitary, gonad axis, it tries to come back, and it doesn't. And now we have physicians and we have researchers all over the world that have supported that you have anabolic steroid-induced hypogonadism. This is all in the brain. Mm-hmm. Now, so your sex drive is in the brain. You're mm-hmm. a man. Mm-hmm. We're men. Women, right. too. It's an right. animal. It's an instinctual.
So it's not just about low testosterone. It's actually a connection with the brain.
Correct. Correct. But then welcome to the world of complex medicine. Mm-hmm. Then if you have genetics, if you have depression, if you have diabetes, mm-hmm. if you have heart disease, this is going to affect the endocrine system. And then let's talk about down in the penis. The penis gets erect because of signals from the mm-hmm. brain to the penis. So you have to have all those signals. Mm-hmm. The endocrine system, you have to have other issues set up. And then blood flow. So Viagra and Cialis, Levitra, Stendra, right? Those are phosphodiesterase mm-hmm. inhibitor number five, mm-hmm. PDE5 inhibitors, right? This is, I'm an internist. So right. those were cardiac medicines. Those were for angina discovered from Pfizer, and I don't work for Pfizer, 25 years ago. They cause massive increase in nitric oxide to the penis. Mm-hmm. So if your sexual dysfunction is in the brain, you could take as much Viagra as you want.
It's still not going to do anything, right?
Your penis is going to be limp. Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. You see, this is why when men go to doctors from steroid related medical issues and mm-hmm. they give them Viagra, the doctor doesn't know mm-hmm. that the problem lies not in the penis. It's a young man, older man. But what if you're 45 and 50 and you have some vascular disease because you're older, your nitric oxide, then it's a, this is why I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the blood vessel system, the blood pressure. This is why as an internal medicine doctor, I've been very valuable. And I'm humble. I don't know everything.
So, doctor, the injection, right? It gives you instant erection, from what I heard.
Correct.
And you might not even be turned on. It's just
100%. So the urology doctors, if they want to get an erection in the office, they have a nurse come in and they just inject it. The nurse leaves the room and comes back in a few minutes. Bink, bink, bink.
Wow. And but don't you think continuous use of that injection would actually end up hurting you more,
Vlad, or not, Vlad? Vlad, it can cause scar tissue. Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but no one uses. I prescribe this to medicines that mm-hmm. have. It's called refractory erectile dysfunction, which means the testosterone doesn't work. Trying to take care of other medical issues that didn't work, and then giving them Viagra, Levitra, Stendra, Cialis, and I got about five other drugs I could try. It just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So then you pull out the last resort. You yeah. give alprazolam, brother. This is why I'm a medical physician. We prescribe it. It's a last resort, but it does work. Mm-hmm. It does work. And a lot of men that are older that have not used steroids have this problem. And because they have had maybe prostate cancer and they had to remove the prostate, that's going to be tough. That's going to be severe erectile dysfunction mm-hmm. on most men, and or they've had heart disease with a bypass surgery. This is why I'm begging you guys to believe me. When you get older and you've used steroids, you're going to have problems anyway. Using steroids is going to complicate everything.
Mm-hmm. Without naming any names at all, I want to make sure we take all names out of the equation. Does it ever surprise you when, let's say, you have a bodybuilder who competed, like, let's say, in the 90s or 80s, and now their kids are coming up and they're supporting their bodybuilding career and, you know, help them become a pro as well? Does it ever surprise you? Because they,
no.
I'm sure they went through a lot of complications health-wise.
No, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm not surprised, but does it hurt me? Because I have a child. I have a son who's 15, and I sometimes don't even want to lift weights with him.
Because you're afraid he might want to follow your footsteps.
He's a skateboard guy. I don't want him doing this. I want
skateboarding can be extreme.
I want him. What's that?
Skateboarding can be extreme. You can get injury. I'm just
glad
saying.
You know it. So it's funny. So pick your poison.
Right,
but at
right,
least
right.
he's not going to have erectile dysfunction at the age of 25.
That's true.
And heart disease. Right. He may break bones. He's a badass. Right. Skateboarding is super badass. Incredible.
But what I'm saying is, you see, like, a guy, for instance, supporting his son's career in bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And you know, he most likely had complications and stuff like that. And
yeah.
So it doesn't surprise you that it happens.
No,
you would think, like, you know.
You know what though, Vlad? But you know, the life is complicated, and that's something that brought that man. That man made a decision. You know, I know who a few of these guys are. We don't have to mention names. Mm-hmm. Or at least I'm thinking of some of the men that I assume, sure. you know, that are doing it, and there'll be more, because Vlad, you know, these men, it's brought them incredible. There's no free lunch in the world. It's brought them some things that are very positive. Maybe these guys have money. Maybe they've made a supplement company. Maybe they have money, right, Vlad?
Sure.
So maybe they're very successful with business, and the son has come to the dad. I'll bet you that the son came to the dad and said, "Dad, I'm doing this." Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you anything the dad said, "Please don't do it, son." And then finally the son says, "Dad, I'm doing it with or without you." Mm-hmm. So the dad, what does the dad do?
Has to support at some point, right?
Correct.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. Now, I think we spoke about this before, but there's definitely natural organizations that do drug testing, right? Bodybuilding. There's quite a few of them, actually, and you know them. I'm sure you've seen it. But
yeah.
Like you told me last time when we had a conversation, you know, like people don't watch them as much as they do watch the untested organizations. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why is that? Why do you think people, even though, you know, like I'm sure a lot of people, they definitely support what you're saying, but it's still not watching the drug tested competitions.
Vlad, do you remember something I said to you in one of the movies that you film me? And I love that you film me in movies. Thank you. Remember I said, remember the Romans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Vlad, do you remember?
They want to see spectacle, right?
Yeah. Do you remember the Romans? What the Romans were all about? Bread Absolutely. And circus. Right. We don't want to see, we want to see freaks. We want to see people pushing the, it's in our DNA. Come on, right. Vlad. They want to see extreme. They want, and guys are willing to get into the pit with the lions. They're lining up, actually.
People, so did you just compare bodybuilding to a circus?
Well, not. I don't want to say.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying.
No.
It's a spectacle. I understand.
The gladiators.
Okay.
I'm not a circus. I'm not going to disparage them. Please, not at all.
I'm kidding.
The analogy is that of the Roman time and the gladiators. And which I know are different times, but men lined up to fight each other to the death.
Absolutely.
With live animals and death in front of spectators.
Right.
They lined up to do it. So it's in our DNA, brother.
Well, do you feel like the bodybuilding fans are often, I would say, hypocritical, because just on social media alone, right? Like they want to see the ultimate freaks, you know what I mean? But then as soon as they see them, oh, steroids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they want to shame them at the same time.
Our society is a hypocritical society. We're mm-hmm. Hypocrisy drives media, drives society. doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems that way.
It's sad. That's too bad. I mean, I think you're not that way. I'm not that way. I try to be unilateral, that if I say I don't support steroids, but I don't hate on them. I mean, people, you know, you have the trolls. Let's be honest, there's trolls out there. Come on, they're just trolls that say bad things. Why would you say anything bad to anyone? I mean, I can't believe my kid's 15. He said, "Dad, you know, that online bullying." I was like, "What is?" You know, 10 years ago, he was like five, mm-hmm. and it was like he already knew about this, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Online bullying." Yeah, they'll actually convince someone to kill themselves. And I was like, what? So look at our world. Right. I mean, we need to get more love and more caring. But I could also go jump in the lake. I mean.
No, I hear you. That's a good point. I just sometimes I feel like I'm not quite sure what the bodybuilding fans out there really want. You know what I mean? Because they say we want it to be about health, but then they also want to see the freaks. Then they also want to. You know what I mean? It's everybody's conflicted. I mean, like when general bodybuilding fan is just, it's hard
it's
to
incredible.
Really pinpoint
it's,
when they want.
Incredible. It's incredible. You're right though. And I think a real true fan of bodybuilding that loves it, that maybe has done it, maybe it did compete at a high level or maybe could not do it and they respect them. They don't make those hypocritical, they don't make those hurtful comments. They don't, those, when you see that person die, that you post. And my God, you're posting it once a month or more. And I'm not jumping into the ring and saying who or what or whatever, because we don't know. So, but when someone really dies from a heart attack and they said it was a heart attack from steroids, maybe I'll do another autopsy report. Come on, guys, let's not get crazy. But when you see most of your comments are RIP, brother, and and you know the prayer hands, I mean, isn't that that's most of people? But then you do have the guys that are, people are just hurtful. Come on, Vlad, you're a media mogul. I'm like a little media mogul trying to come up.
No, I hear you. How do you feel about, I'm sure you know Dr. Testosterone from Greece.
Oh,
you
know, Dr. T. I named him Dr. T.
Oh, did
you? I named him, yeah.
He's the only other doctor in the industry that I know of. I interviewed him a few times, and you know, I know he's very vocal about his opinions. How do you feel about his views? Because he's a little bit different from yours, because you're basically saying everybody should stay away from steroids. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying that while you're doing it, be smart about it, and you know, take precautions to basically protect your body. You know what I mean? So he's a little bit different from your approach. So how do you feel about his?
I love Dr. T, and he's a friend of mine. So first of all, let's look at his resume. He's a real doctor. Mm-hmm. He's a pathologist. He's not like an internist. You know, they're different. It's a different training over in Greece. Mm-hmm. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. He's actually a savant. And I mean that is a compliment. He's a brilliant man. He's such a nice man. He'll talk to anyone. He works with everyone. He's incredible. But he's done steroids, and look at him. He looks incredible. He's younger than me. He's in his 40s, and he has good. Look at the hair on the guy. I mean, like, he's done steroids. That's and look at your hair, right? But you're not a steroid user. My hair's thinned out a little bit. I'm working on that. Sometimes I don't care. And, you know, so this guy, his take is, I've done steroids. He's a doctor. I'm a doc. That's him speaking. Mm-hmm. And steroids can be great because look at me and look at the body's effects, but be careful, guys. So I'm a medical physician in America. First off, if I had that take, I would lose my license. So number one, but that would be protective, but it would be kind of fake. I truly don't want people to do steroids. I'm not a hypocrite. I did steroids. I tell about it. I'm on TRT. What I say is, there's no free lunch. If you're going to do steroids, keep the doses down and come see a doctor to block the effects and be protected, so you don't end up harming yourself and lessening your life and destroying your quality of life. Who wants to have a fucking heart attack and erectile dysfunction? So Dr. T and I are on the exact same page, although he is more vocal for a proponent for using steroids safely and correct. I am not.
Gotcha. Were you part of the National Geographic docuseries recently? Can you tell me about that and kind of how did you feel about the program and everything else?
Yeah, that was amazing. You know, 2 years ago they filmed, and because of COVID they let it out a year later, which is I think in January this year. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, you know, so they filmed, obviously, you know, Tony Hughes was in it.
Your nemesis.
My nemesis, my nemesis, and you know, honestly, I mean, I love to give some secrets to the world because I know this is all for the views and it's all true. You know, they filmed it, and she told me, you know, the what was her name? I'm just blanking on the name. My brain is so fried from so much going on. Mm-hmm. You know, she told me that this is going to be educational, and it's not that she didn't say it's all about me. But she said, we're going to feature you, your patient. You see my patient with heart failure, 37-year-old man with heart failure, you know, and the doctor that was in there his cardiologist. She did footage, you know, hours and hours of footage. And, you know, they cut it down. They end up doing a promotion. She does a promotional world video for the world from National Geographic to promote this guy, and then I had a small part where I was like, someone said, Doc, you're like, you look like the angry white man. I said, I'm sorry, I'm the angry white man. But I mean, that's not who I am. But so I'm happy that I was in it, of course, because I'll, you know, of course I'm humble. But they twisted the whole thing, Vlad, to do a promotional for Tony Hughes. And that the kid that he was injecting. Did you see the video? I'm sure you saw it, right?
I saw clips of it. The guy showed it to me.
Oh, my Lord.
I didn't see the whole thing.
Vlad. Oh, God. They just did a whole. And there's a lot. There's vocal criticism, but that's Nat Geo. They did whatever they want to do, and they turned. And he didn't pay for that. There's no bull. People talk he paid for that. He's not going to afford to pay. Maybe he is rich, you know, richer than me. But I mean, so they did that, Vlad, and it was supposed to be more educational and exposing what's going on with steroid use and research and where we are. And it turned around where she was falling in love with Tony Hughes on the back of his motorcycle and showing the parties and, you know, this guy. Damn. I mean, and I don't hate Tony. I love giving more secrets. Tony and I worked together many years ago when Tony was much more of a, he's a brilliant guy. The guy is insanely smart. Obviously, he's very passionate, charismatic. You know, the guy will convince you. He could sell like any. The guy could sell you shit land for $10 million. I mean, the guy's a genius. Mm-hmm. So he, come on, but he's taking risks. Years ago, his take was, "Doc, I love your take. You're protecting men from steroid complications. More doctors should do this." And I was like, "Yeah, Tony." And then he. Something happened, Vlad, years ago, maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago, where he went off on this super extreme, and here he is today. I don't even know where he is, and I talked to him, you know, way back, but I refused to work with him because it was just about
the money.
You know
what we should do? You know what would be kind of crazy? I was just thinking about it out loud here, like a debate between you and him, but in the same room, though. You know what I'm saying? Where you can actually, like, you go, he goes, and then, you know. I think
I'll do it. I'd love to do it. If he has the balls to do it, he might not have the balls to do it.
We'll see. That'd be pretty cool, though.
That would be cool. Kind of like the gloves.
Because you've been a part of like so many projects with him already, right? But it's never in the same room, so it's never a direct debate. You know what I mean?
It's super. It would be super awesome because it would get tons of millions and millions and millions of views, and I would be able to sell what I sell, which is my information and love and care and knowledge to limit steroid use by young men. I would love to do it.
Sure, man. Well, I'll talk to him and see what happens.
That's cool. That would be cool.
So, you know, you mentioned that steroids basically are miracles for muscle growth, right? That's a fact, essentially. You said it. Now, are there any other safer alternatives to steroids that whether it's a supplement, whether it's some kind of a herbal thing that are safe to use and gives you not the same effect, but something at least a 10% of it or something like that?
All right, that's a great question. So let's open the toolbox. Can we take a look? Let's take a look. You know, we go from left to right, right? Mm-hmm. So what do we got in there? We got, you know, androgenic substances, right? So testosterone boosters, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Longfellow Jack, Tribulus, all that. I don't know them all, guys. Please, I'm humble. I'm a steroid research guy. So you got testosterone boosters. They do work. They work. I mean, some of this, it's variable, and it's variable, right? You get a little effect. And then let's start going over. Then we move over from that. This is apart from creatine. Creatine works. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amino acid complexes work. Come on, Vlad. This stuff, supplements, some supplements really do work. Mm-hmm. There's no question. Okay. So we have supplements. And then and this is apart from diet and exercise organically.
I mean, just supplements, yeah.
Correct, correct. Diet, exercise, supplements, behavior, you know, genetics, training, you know, meditation, you know, high intensity interval training, you know, working out with, you know, the likes of Dorian Yates, where he did the one rep max, you know, all these training regimens, which are incredibly scientific and functional for some people, depending on who they are and where they are in their career. Mm-hmm. So then you have supplements. So supplements work. And then you have boosters, which I just talked about, which those work a little bit. Now SARMs. Okay, So now we're into SARMs.
But that would not be safe. SARMs would not be a safer option.
No. So SARMs, I have a lot of experience with. Ostarine, Ligandrol, RAD-140. Then everyone always throws in MK, which MK is not a fucking SARM. It's a secretagogue. But these are bought on peptide sites, and they're all mixed in together. It's all googly gook, right? It's all kind of mixed in. So these are peptides. But they're really, of course, they're general peptides. They're just PEDs. Now, SARMs work, but we don't have data. And forgive me, I'm a science guy, so I need data. So we don't have data. It's inconsistent data. There's some studies on this stuff. So those things work, Vlad. Oh, they work, but they cause severe the brain doesn't, and if it's, this is like versus the interview I was with my colleague at Harvard, Dr. Bashane, in New York Times, oh my God, 5 years ago, where he tested 50 SARMs, and it turned out that more, you might have seen the article, New York Times, Google doc, anabolic doc, New York Times, SARMs, you'll see my article and with him. And it was half of them were bunkus. They weren't even what it was supposed to, because it's not regular. And I don't want regulation, guys. I don't want regulation. I'm not some governmental proponent here. Mm-hmm. So those drugs work. If you're getting real Ligandrol, which you might, real RAD, real Ostarine combined, and then there's a bunch of other ones, and you use them, whoo-hoo, they work, man. But are they better or worse than Anavar, testosterone, Dianabol? And the question is, it depends on who you are and what you do. There's quite, so those are not safe alternatives. Those are steroids, essentially. Mm-hmm. But you asked for all these other agents. So then we go into the world of steroids. Now, I'm going to give you something I know you guys, this is what you're looking to hear. If you just, if a man says, you know what, I want to just get a little edge and I want to do something, I understand I'm going to be on testosterone for life. Is it, I'm not saying this should be done. Is it ethical to give, I don't do this in practice because I don't want to, it's unethical potentially, it's man per man. But what about a man just taking a little bit of testosterone? Mm-hmm. You'll get gains off it. Will you be a top professional bodybuilder? No. Mm-hmm. But can you get some really nice gains and can you feel great? But there are going to be complications.
Even with a little use, you're saying.
Are you kidding me, Vlad? No names mentioned. This is my 20th year, right? Mm-hmm. So I've had not bodybuilders. I've had power lifters come to me, no names mentioned, that were doing steroids, top power lifters, right? No one seems to give a shit about these guys. 600-pound bencher, mid-fives raw, 220, 242 class, 700-800-pound squatter and deadlifters. They're on some steroids. Listen, they come to me, they're in their 20s, maybe 26, 27. Doc, I got to tap out. Take me away. I can't take it. I'm scared. I'm having some complications. A lot of it's usually sexual, on and off. Mm-hmm. So I take them in, check the levels. They're low because they're off maybe 6 months, maybe a year, maybe less, and they're suffering. So this is 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, okay, brother, we give this man and a few others some testosterone. They go, you know, I got to change my gym. Why are you changing your gym? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be so weak. I can't go. You see where I'm going? I can't go back to this gym. This day today, I get chills. This day today, this one particular man, and there are a few others, but they're very rare. He is stronger than he's ever been. He competes in the top of the world, and he's on TRT. Now, does he give little baby doses of Anavar on training days? He has. Then he said, you know, I don't even think I even need that. Mm-hmm. I swear to you, this man's genetics are so good. He's so healthy. He's just on TRT. I swear. And that's the whole argument. So is Mike O'Hearn, is he actually just on TRT or is he completely natty? I mean, this is the whole thing. So that's my take, guys. To help men understand and get their head around, I want to get a little something, Doc. It's up to you, sir, but if you don't stay completely natty, it's a light switch, on or off. But if you do a little testosterone and you feel great, you're going to be on it forever. If you don't like that, don't do it. If you don't like the hair loss, the gyno, the you have to watch the heart, the red blood cells, the prostate. This is what I do. This is my day job. Mm-hmm. So, but can you live a phenomenal life and be strong but balanced? Because you're not going to be the strong. Well, this guy is the strongest guy in the world. One of them. But it's not his day job. He has mm-hmm. it's because men powerlifters don't make money. Even the top right. guys don't make money.
Right, right, right.
So you see what I just said? Do you agree with that, Vlad?
No, I hear you. Yeah. Do you find that men come to you when they already like when the health is already a critical situation, like as opposed to coming to you and catching things earlier?
No,
you know?
50-50. 50-50. Yeah. A lot more men over the last 10 years. In the beginning, they came to me only at the critical after bypass surgery, you know, kidney failure, psychiatric, hospitalization and suicide attempts, you know, and massive erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning. And now in the last 10 years, they come to me very early because they're very smart. Young men, mm-hmm. young men that are 20s and 30s that are on PEDS, and they come to me for ethical love and care and support. Yeah,
that's important. I think it's very important what you're doing, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of people suffering out there, and I always supported your career, you know. I think it's important.
Thank you, Vlad.
But, you know, as always, like, you know, this is a, you know, fitness bodybuilding channel, and I'm sure some people, they still want to continue the industry going in the direction that it's going. And I was wondering, what kind of comments do you usually get from people? Like, do people... Because I know a lot of people love you, right? And they always, they want to get the right advice, you know what I'm saying? But do you get people saying that, you know, well, we want to see that type of bodybuilding anyway, you know what I mean? Why are you trying to kind of diminish it, you know what I mean? Or take away
yes.
from it?
So, you know, get back to our closing and really right on our first question, which is all of this incredible question that will go on forever. Guys, just be careful. I love, it's a high. You're on a high. I get it. I did it, you know, to a limited extent. You know, I was also kind of like a hypochondriac. Because I was a hypochondriac on steroids, I went to medical school and became the anabolic doc. I mean, it's a true story. So, but in the end, I respect these you guys, and I just want to help to limit the damage and complications. And the number one way to limit complications and damage is not to do it. And then the next level is do as least as you can, lowest effective dose. And then with that, get monitored, right? You know, and not just check your labs.
Sure.
Just really get monitored.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you two more things, actually, to wrap this up. I know you have to go. So a lot of times you see people online saying, you know, use it but don't abuse it when it comes to steroids. Do you think it's a very confusing statement? Because what does that really mean? Like, you know what I mean?
It is confusing because it's a light switch. You know, if you did one tablet of Anavar, if you did 20 milligrams of Anavar on training days, 2 days a week, is that going to hurt your health? Probably not. Probably not. But is that going to do anything for you? You're not going to get really any gains out of it. But actually, you can get gains out of that. But I'm not supporting that. It's just common sense. Less is more. So use it, don't abuse it. That's back to the hypocrisy, though. So this guy uses this. He doesn't abuse it. We don't know. Don't we, Vlad, don't you think we need to do real research on this? And the question ends up, do we need to legalize openness in steroids? And I'm not going to give a comment on that because I have an active medical license, so I'm not going to give a comment on that. I will not comment. But it is a question. Marijuana is legal recreationally in many states.
Yeah.
I will not comment for or against it. I'm just going to comment that it exists, and it's more and more so. We even have discussion in places in this country where illicit drugs are discussed and are being...
Oregon legalized it fully.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, you said it, not me. Yeah. I mean, Seattle and stuff. So, you know, is that we are people. We are always progressing forward. And I'm not using that word as a liberal term, progressive. It's a progressive. We are progressing forward as a species, as a culture. And we have to progress forward to and to do better and to reduce suffering. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
So well, if people are using steroids, I want doctors to monitor, and we just got a huge journal article, the General Journal of Internal Medicine, one of the best medical journals in the world, published our article with Dr. Bonacaz. Mm-hmm. He's an endocrinology doctor. He's my partner and research partner. These are real doctors. They're young and they're changing. Mm-hmm. They're accepting steroids are being used and they're doing something about it ethically. Mm-hmm. The world is becoming a better place.
Last thing I want to ask you is concerns of blood pressure in bodybuilding. How serious of a concern do you think it is for bodybuilders with blood pressure?
Well, young men, it's amazing. Young men take steroids, and most of them, depending on how much they take, their blood pressure is usually okay. But blood pressure in steroid use sooner or later, and depending on how heavy you are and how much salt and how much calories you're taking, your genetic propensity for it, blood pressure, the heart stuff, cholesterol, and the kidney stuff, it's horribly important. So blood pressure is one of my mainstays of what I focus on and what I treat and provide protection on. Mm-hmm. It's like a needle exchange program for heroin users. If you're going to use heroin, here's a fresh needle. If you're going to use steroids, here's blood pressure medicines, and let's protect you and monitor you. Mm-hmm. So what a great question. But for me, it's not just blood pressure, guys, and taking this medicine, because it's so complicated. It's about limiting the damage and therefore limiting the drugs and thinking about not using the drugs.
Absolutely. Dr. Okada, thank you so much. It's always a great pleasure talking to you, man. And we need to do it again like every 6 months. And I really love talking to you, man. It's very, very helpful, I feel like, to a lot of people. Very educational for me personally.
Thank you so much, Vlad. It's awesome. And from the beginning years ago to today,
absolutely.
I really appreciate, you know, your exposure and your time too. Thank you so much. You
guys
are awesome.
Much. Be safe, brother, okay?
Thanks, Vlad.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Visit GenerationIron.com for even more GI exclusive content on all things bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are downloaded.